This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to chapter 28 of Matthew, verses 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it now, that the reading of it might touch our hearts, that it might point us to you, to the risen Christ. May all that is spoken this day, Lord, be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is told about a Sunday school teacher teaching a group of young students, elementary age students in her class. And she asked the question, much like I asked the question to the kids today, why do we celebrate Easter? And they got the usual answers. It's because of the Easter bunny, or because of the egg hunts, or candy, or it's a holiday. All of those normal answers you would get. And all along she was looking for that one answer that told them about Christ's resurrection. Finally, a little girl raised her hand and she called on her and she said, "We celebrate Easter because Jesus came out of the tomb." Well, you can imagine the enthusiasm, the excitement of this teacher. Finally, somebody really understood and grasped what Easter meant. And she says, "Okay, that's right. But Jesus arose, Jesus did arise from the tomb, but what does he do for us?" Well, the little girl looked at her teacher and said, "Well, he comes out, and if he sees his shadow, he goes back in for 6 weeks." We know the truth, I hope. We're not quite there, folks, I hope. But we do need to remember that the resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith as Christians. As important as the crucifixion was and is, we talked about it at length on Friday night. The crucifixion is important, but without the empty tomb 3 days later, there would have been nothing worthwhile. The resurrection is what validates everything that Jesus said. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the only way to God. And he claimed to be the judge of the world. If the resurrection didn't happen, then everything he said about these things was false. It was a lie. It was nothing but pure fabrication. Now this morning, I don't want to talk about just the what of Easter. What is Easter? I want to talk about how to take Easter from being just a holiday we celebrate to being something that we take out from the church, something that really impacts the lives of the people around us. In doing that, I want to give you 3 ways to take Easter from being just a religious holiday to being a life-changing truth. The first of these is that we have to know the facts. This whole resurrection thing isn't just a bunch of nice religious speculation. It's not a theological exercise that we practice. Folks, the resurrection has to be viewed from our part as a historical fact, complete with hundreds of witnesses, eyewitnesses, and people who gave their life for the very idea that Jesus did raise from the dead, that they had seen Him alive after He died on the cross. But when it comes to just what the facts are about this whole episode, we just need to remember three basic things. Jesus lived physically, Jesus died physically, and Jesus rose again physically.
Amen.
It's pretty simple, isn't it? That's all we need to know. If you've grown up in the church and had access to the church all your life, then none of these things are come as a great surprise or seem to be a big deal. Why would I emphasize these facts if all of these things were done physically, though? It's because there are many who claim otherwise about the facts concerning Jesus, especially the death and the resurrection part. There are few, if any, critics of the Christian faith, critics of the Bible, anywhere, atheists, whatever it be, that would deny the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was a real man who lived in a real time, a particular time, in a particular place. Very few people will deny that. Jesus was a historical figure. But there are some who will say that He didn't die, that He just passed out. They call it the swoon theory. Kind of sounds foolish to even say it. The swoon theory. He passed out, and later the disciples revived Him. And then there are even more that will deny the fact that Jesus rose physically from the grave. You know, it's bad enough when there are people outside the scope of the church and the Christian faith who will make these claims. But folks, believe it or not, we are protected in our little corner of the world and in our Southern Baptist belt, Bible belt tradition. We can say Baptist Bible belt tradition, I guess. That'd be okay. We're protected in that, in what we believe. But folks, there are people within the church, people of theological expertise and ministers of the gospel who will get up and denounce these things. That Christ did actually die and that He did come back from the dead. Believe me, they're out there, and this time of year you're going to hear about them. You can be sure. What would Jesus' credibility have been and be if He really didn't step out of that tomb? His credibility would be zero, nothing. And it would make us doubt and question every claim that He made throughout His life. Everything He said about God, everything He said about His own nature, about forgiveness and about heaven, all of that stuff would be subject to our doubt as well. Let's look at a passage of Scripture that lays out these facts very plainly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. Paul says this to the church in Corinth: "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all He appeared to me also, as one abnormally born. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? The Scriptures say that the Messiah would die for our sins and rise from the dead. Not only that, Jesus appeared to over 500 people to show that He had accomplished this indeed. Last year sometime, I think it was last year, it could have been more than that, the way time goes by. But there was a... Any of you ever watch Jay Leno in the Tonight Show? No late night people here. That's okay. I know some of you are closet late night people. That's all right. I didn't actually see this on the show, but I saw it later at some time, so that's how I'm able to speak about it. But Jay Leno has an episode where it's called Jaywalking, where he goes out on the street of New York and asks them certain questions about things that are going on, particular to that that time maybe. Well, this was at Holy Week, and I think it was last year, and he was out on the street and he was asking people that came down the street just at random different questions about about religion, about the Christian faith, and about Jesus. He was asking them things like, where was Jesus born? What was Jesus' earthly parents' name? Where did he die? And, you know, such things as that. Questions that our children up here would have been able to have answered this morning because of their background in Sunday school. But you would be surprised at how many people they asked that didn't know the answer to those questions. Everyone they showed, no one gave a correct answer. Now, I don't know how they edited that, if they took out all those people that answered correctly and just showed the really silly answers or what. But it would surprise you at the lack of knowledge that those people had. Some of them couldn't even come up with the answer even when Jay Leno would prompt them a little bit and give them clues. Another interesting thing about the Leno spot was that he asked some of the people if they had ever grown up in church or in Sunday school, and most of them confessed that they had. A couple of them even said that they took their children to Sunday school now. Jay Leno then said to him, says, well, maybe you need to go along with them.
Amen.
If we want to take Easter from just another religious holiday to a life-changing truth, we must know the fact. Jesus lived physically, Jesus died physically, and Jesus rose physically. The second way to take Easter from being just a religious holiday to a life-changing truth is along with knowing the facts, we must learn to communicate the facts. It's not just enough to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We must know how to share that truth with others. We need to be ready to communicate the truth. 1 Peter chapter 3, 15 and 16 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Be able, folks, to tell people about the resurrection and why it is important. And it's important because it gives us hope for eternity. This morning at our sunrise service, Todd spoke about that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That we don't have to worry about eternity because Jesus Christ won the victory over Satan and the grave. We have victory in Christ. We have hope because of His victory. And we communicate this to people because we want other people to have that same hope that we do. The hope that this verse in 1 Peter talks about. How do we do this? How do we communicate it? There are four tips on communicating that. And the first two relate to that main point I just talked about, to knowing the facts. That's the first one. We have to know the facts. Be informed. Second, we must learn to present them clearly with scriptural support. Now what I mean here is that you want to offer the first person accounts of what happened. Not just what you think and your interpretation, but the scripture, the things that you learned in Sunday school and took from those lessons. And the importance about this is being able to back it up scripturally. If we are Christians, if we are confessing Christ and trying to tell someone about Jesus, and we can't even tell them in the Bible what the Bible says about it and tell it accurately, how can we convince anyone? They're going to look at us as being just plumb foolish. Well, they say they believe that, but they can't even give a reason why. We need to be able to back it up. We need to be able to present it clearly. We need to know what the Bible says about the resurrection and share it. We also need to look and pray for opportunities to share Christ and His resurrection. We've talked a great deal about that over the months that we have just passed through. We need to be open to opportunities to give someone else the shot at getting the same hope that you and I have in Christ. In other words, we don't need to hoard it. The glory of Christ, the hope of Christ, is not measured out in a finite amount. There's only this much hope, folks, and I've got this much of it, and I'm going to keep it to myself because it's going to run out. That's not the way it works. The hope of Christ knows no bounds, no limits, and is as endless as eternity. We need to share the hope of Christ with the people around us. The more you give, the more you will get. You can be sure. The fourth thing is to speak nicely without looking down on people. Notice that last part of what 1 Peter says. Do this with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. No one likes a jerk, do they? You know what? I can be a jerk. Just ask Renee. Ask my children. They can attest to that. Amen, anybody? Calvin, you want to amen that? April Fool, huh? I can be a jerk, folks. I really can. I can be a jerk to my family. I can be a jerk to my friends. I can be a jerk when it comes to telling people about Jesus Christ. I shouldn't be that way. I need Him. I need to love people as they are. Give them the Word of God in love and compassion. Not because I'm some super Christian and know so much more than anybody else. Not because I've been to seminary, or as some people call cemetery. Not because of those things, but because of what Jesus did for me, I need to share that love with other people. Because He loved. Because the least, the lost, and the most wretched, those are the people that Jesus came for. Those are the people that He walked on this earth for. Those are the people that He walked to Golgotha for. Those are the people that He hung on the cross for and shed His blood for. Amen. And if He did that for the least and the lost and the lonely, then boy, I better not be a jerk to them, because I might be looking at Jesus there somewhere. The gospel is good news. Not something you use to show your spiritual superiority. One of the things that the Leno episode reminded me of was that even with the abundance of information and the abundance of ways to get information from the churches, with websites and internet and TV and radio broadcasts, all of these things, and there are still people who simply don't know about the resurrection. We make a huge mistake when we assume that everyone knows what we're talking about when we speak of the resurrection. One of the best ways, though, the third and final way, that we can take Easter from being just another holiday to a life-changing truth is to let the facts impact our lives. Two ways that you can show this. The first is out of obedience. Through obedience out of our love for Christ. John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." This moves people from lip service about Jesus to really living for Him. Don't claim to be a Christian if you're not living for Him. Jesus doesn't give you that option. Get in the Bible and find out what Jesus requires of His followers, and seek the Holy Spirit to help you follow Christ in obedience. Folks, if you're trying to do it on your own, you are going to make a big mess. Believe me. I know. I've been there. I've done it. I've got the t-shirt. The second way to let the facts of the resurrection impact your life is through the presence of the hope you have in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:19 and 20 and verse 22. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Folks, I'm not going to belabor this point much. But you have to understand that because Christ rose from the dead, we have that hope. Without it, we have no hope of forgiveness, no hope of spending eternity in heaven. If you want to see other people find Christ, you need to be able to show that you have hope, the hope that Christ offers because He is risen. Amen. Where is your hope? Do you put your hope in your own morality? Do you put your hope in the fact that I'm a pretty good person? I'm not that bad. I haven't murdered. I haven't raped. I haven't stolen. I haven't maimed. Do you put your hope in that fact? Or do you put your hope in your religion. Folks, there are people that are religious all over the world and killing people in the name of religion every day. Folks, your religion won't do it for you. You can't say, well, I'm religious and I pray and that takes care of me. Or I'm religious and I come to church and that takes care of me. You can't say I'm religious and I put my money in the offering plate and that takes care of me. Do you put your hope in your family? Do you think, well, Mama loved Jesus and so I know Jesus is going to let me in because He loves Mama. If your hope is in anything but the risen Christ, then folks, let me tell you, you have no hope. Amen. You have no hope. You need to put your faith in Christ Jesus, in Him alone. Not in your mama's faith, or your daddy's faith, or your aunt's faith, or your preacher's faith. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It needs to be your faith that you trust to Him. That's the only one that counts. We have a great hope in Easter because He's risen. And we need to take that hope that we have to the world. Easter isn't just a holiday, folks. It's a statement that God wins. God won the victory through His Son, Jesus Christ, through His death, through His resurrection. Jesus Christ has won the victory, and the victory is available to each and every one who will call upon His name. My prayer is that if you're here today and you've already taken care of eternity because you put your faith in Jesus Christ and strove and decided to strive to live for Him, that you will give others that same chance, that you will not hold it and hoard it within you, but that you will allow it to be a wellspring of living water that flows from you. Or maybe you've heard about Jesus your whole life, and heard about going to heaven, and heard about that hope, and seen people who testified to it. But you either didn't understand it, or just didn't get to the point where you could accept it. I want to offer you Jesus this morning. I want you to know that you can be a new person because of what Jesus did for you by dying on the cross and rising again. So this morning, As we come near to the end of our service, I want to invite you, while the choir sings a glorious song to Christ this morning, I want to invite you to take it, to take the offer of Christ, His forgiveness, and the assurance and hope of heaven eternal. Know the facts, learn to communicate the facts, and let those facts impact your life. Amen. Choir, let's sing.